We're back with more of Lake Effect. I'm Bonnie North. Most of us in the U.S. think that we, or possibly the Brits, make the best television in the world. But did you know that the very popular American television shows In Treatment and Homeland were both based on Israeli shows? There are many others, and it turns out that Israel exports more TV formats to other countries, including here to the U.S., than any other country in the world. And one of the people responsible for that is screenwriter, novelist, and former Israeli TV executive Ron Leshem. Not yet 40, the quality of Leshem's writing and his understanding of how TV works has made his work very desirable to Hollywood. Leshem was in Milwaukee at the end of January to deliver a lecture on the success of Israeli TV. He stopped by the studio first for a chat, and he explained what the Israeli television industry is doing to make their exports so compelling to the rest of the world.
This new era, it's like the golden age of television from the cable American show, is totally the new literature in my eyes. And we find here in the cable TV shows the most innovative and brilliant literature on screen, and we admire that and we want to be a part of that. But at the same time, the world is getting smaller, and as much as you see McDonald's or Starbucks everywhere, you see formats everywhere, and we are sharing formats. Sometimes you watch a show like Homeland, which is an original Israeli format, or House of Cards, which used to be a British format, and you don't know it was originally. And we take them and remake them because a good writing is a good writing, and we just find the ways to make the few changes that are needed for in the cultural way, or to adapt it in the right way. I think Israel is a laboratory, and that's really interesting because actually we do have a commercial networks, cable television only for 20 years. We didn't really have anything. We only had the one channel till 1993. So we're really new in this thing, and we are very poor. I mean, my budget for an episode of drama would be like the budget of the beverages on the set of an American episode. But yeah, we have this huge desire, and I think we are good with stories. Israel is a crazy place for stories, for people who write. We are very similar to American audience, so we are a good laboratory for that. I think we are neurotic as the American audience, and we are a bit of paranoid sometimes, which makes it very relevant since 9/11 here.
I was interested in what you were saying about how you think that cable television in this country is sort of the new golden age. Are you talking about drama? Because there's a lot on cable that I would say doesn't really aspire to golden status.
Yeah, you know, well, for many years I was an executive, and I was doing also the reality shows, and in Israel too, the highest rating would go to reality shows like The Big Brother, which is, by the way, from Netherlands. And I'm always offended that it is they use the same name for our profession when we do drama and when we do these reality shows, because they're not. Yeah, I'm talking about the golden age of those high-end drama. And you can find on HBO and Showtime and FX and AMC, of course, which is today is very in the U.S. I think when we are coming to Los Angeles, what we hear from everybody these days, we don't want to be only plot oriented. We want to be character oriented. We want people to come back from episode to episode because they care. Or they find the lead character and the characters relatable, not always lovable. This is something that had changed. We used to do plot-oriented shows. We used to do lovable characters. So we get a chance to really to dare and to take risks. And that's the most amazing thing for writers. We find it here. I never expected Hollywood to be so open-minded to hearing ideas, so reachable. So you can get to anyone you want. You can tell and share stories. And we found some amazing partners there.
I'm surprised, actually, because I think Hollywood has a reputation for people who don't work in it as being a place that is risk-averse. I mean, that if it's not going to make money, I mean, if it's going to make money, great. But if it's not, you know, something that's commercially viable right off the bat, that they don't seem to be open to it. But you're saying, no, that's not true.
Well, I think in the networks for many years, in the big networks, commercial broadcasters, the competition killed the creativity. You don't see those good high-end drama on network today yet because they were so afraid to lose a moment of ratings and they couldn't take risks. At the same time, when HBO started and all the cable era started, they had to take risks because they wanted to break the China, right? Right now, they are less patient as they used to be because when you had those shows that Breaking Bad was almost canceled after the first season and only the VOD figures, everything, they started understanding this powerful tool. But in so many amazing shows like The Wire, it took a few seasons to launch. And today, the competition in between the cable channels are also so high. They want you to bring the pilot that they cannot refuse to. And again, the competition makes it everything more edgy. And I think in that case, what's interesting about the Israeli market is that we are doing edgy mainstream almost always. We are taking risk. We need to be edgy. Our audience is neurotic. But at the same time, the television in Israel is totally campfire. It is the thing that if Israel is like 12 tribes and 36% of the population were born, even today, were born abroad. So the television is the one single cultural a common thing between those tribes. And in order to succeed in Israel, because we only have Israel is smaller than New Jersey. Israel has only 1.5 million households speaking Hebrew. So we, as we do television, it's like the size of the suburbs of Sacramento. So in order to succeed financially, we have to have 35% ratings. So we have to be mainstream. You have to talk to everybody, but at the same time, they get bored so easily, so we have to be edgy. This is what made us, we have a very interesting characteristic. I think the U.S. is today is more interested in formats that are like Homeland, the Israeli format, that are more related to espionage and security, national security issues. And right now we are trying to sell other stuff that I think we can contribute with too. In Treatment, that was aired on HBO, was also an Israeli format. But many of those Israeli formats that you see on screen today are all related to the post-trauma of 9/11, like Hostages that CBS aired this year.
Going back to what you were saying about character in all of this, that you have the formats, but that these are character-driven shows. The situation is something that we recognize culturally, but we need to care about the characters as well. How do you do that in Israel when you have such a diverse population? And as you say, you only have 1.5 million homes that are speaking Hebrew.
Oh, that's a tough question.
Yeah, how do you get all of those other people to care?
I think, first of all, personally, I always choose something I want to research. If I want to research how I can take a science teacher and make him a head of a cartel and the king of the most horrific mafia, I want to show it's like an algorithm. I want to prove it can happen. I want to research it. I want to live inside it. I'm writing things that I want to say and things that I want to try, mostly my alter ego, and things that are going to be that are going to have some kind of a new theme that should be researched. So it starts with that. But in Israel, I always feel an obligation to write something that is that makes the viewer, the audience, look at themselves in the mirror and be a bit worried or disturbed. And our reality, and in any kind of reality, I think this is drama and this is theater, and this is you have to make the audience uncomfortable with himself and checking himself and asking the questions that are relevant to himself. And also, I personally really love the values of relevancy in drama, and I want to dare and try new things.
You wear lots of different hats. You were talking before that you used to be an executive in Israeli television. You're mostly working as a writer now. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You resigned from the stuff.
Yeah, so, yeah. Well, but does being an executive, it gives you an insight that a lot of writers wouldn't necessarily have. You know what it's like coming from the other direction. Does that help you or hinder you when you're working on a script?
It always makes you think, what would the executive say about it? You know what everyone would say about anything you do. It was very frustrating working on other people's stuff and working on so much things that weren't so important for me, like the Big Brother. But and I only when my first novel was adapted to a film and was nominated to the Academy Awards here in the U.S., I came back from Los Angeles, and at that night, it was 1 a.m., I text a message to my boss that I'm resigning because I want to be a writer, because I got the courage to say, well, I can take this risk and not be an employee of a huge corporate. And I think it always helps me that I have a bit of understanding of the big picture.
It doesn't get in your way creatively?
I guess it does. Maybe it does. But I mean, the thing is that I was so frustrated with writing books that is so solitude. And, you know, when you write a show, which could be the most, for me, the best literature ever, and it can be The Sopranos, and it can be Dexter, it can be Weeds, it can be whatever, you always sit in a room with eight people who are writing with you. There is a writing room, so suddenly you are not alone. And that was the new thing for me, because I got crazy. I started, when I was at home alone writing a novel, I started talking to the cats. I couldn't bear it anymore. So right now, when you sit in a room with eight people and one of them is really good with dialogues and one of them is very funny and one of them is very sensitive and one of them is best with thrillers and so... this is a working in a group. What makes it so unique, the cable drama, and I think that another change that happened in the U.S. You know how writers were so frustrated from cinema, and they were not significant in cinema. No one, I mean, it was they were the last in the chain, and it was a dictatorship of the director. And suddenly, a new era come. And we discovered that in television, we are the executive producers. The writer are choosing the director. The writers are the producers and the bosses of the whole thing. So it gives me still, especially the American way of doing things in television, gave me the ability to still be also an executive. That's the beauty of the thing. I mean,
so you still get to wear both hats.
Yeah. I really admire the American system in this way. And people like Howard Gordon, whom we worked on Homeland with, he's not only a brilliant writer, but he's a showrunner. And a showrunner means that both in 24 that he did to the networks before, and then when he was doing Homeland, he is a boss, but he is a creative executive, and he is a writer, but he sees the big picture and the budget and everything. That's the best profession I can imagine.
So do you hope to come here to do that? Or are you going to stay in Israel as a primary
resident? Well, I can't imagine myself living outside of Israel. I mean, I travel a lot. I love this. Israel is so tiny. You can cross it like 4 hours drive and you saw the entire country. So we have this kind of urge to fly all the time, to get out. We are surrounded by an atmosphere that makes us a bit paranoid about everything. We're trying to believe that we are Switzerland. We are naked on the beach all day. We have sex and parties and best restaurants in Tel Aviv and everything. While 20 minutes from us, people are executing women for adultery and executing gay people from the age of 16, and people are being slaughtered every day. And it gives you the urge feeling that everything can be gone in a second. So it makes you more paranoid, but more full of life. It gives you the need to see the entire universe. So I'm traveling to, I've already seen 22 countries because of my novels, because whenever I'm, or my shows, whenever I'm invited to a festival, I take the chance to see the country. And that's the amazing thing, but I can't imagine myself living in, because I'm writing in Hebrew, this is who I am. And this is what I have, what is so important for me to say, to talk to the Israelis, everything. You always feel when you live in Israel that if you take the problems and the entire nation from your shoulders, you just, for a moment, you're not awakened there. The whole thing is going to collapse. And I'm addicted
ever
to
vigilant.
This way. Yeah. So even as a tourist, I find myself like when I come to South Africa, when I come to places that everything is more complicated and explosive, it is more interesting for me than coming to Toronto, for example. I can't be in a too calm situation.
And Toronto is pretty calm. Well, I mean, I'm sure there are places in it that aren't, but not in the same way.
I just read it was one of the five best cities for young people in the world. So I guess it's a great place to live. And I have a Canadian family in my roots. I mean, my grandmother was born in Winnipeg, so everything else. But it's too calm for me.
Well, what are you working on now? What's going on creatively for you in terms of both novels or television?
We are filming next month a pilot for NBC. It's an espionage story. And we found an amazing thing in NBC because the president of NBC Entertainment is the guy that came from Showtime. He was head of Showtime. He is responsible for such an amazing and daring like Dexter and Weeds and Shameless. And he's really trying to bring this quality to NBC. And we are filming a pilot with George Nolfi. He's a great director and showrunner. He did Ocean 12 and Born Identity. And that's a very new thing for us, learning from great people. And
on network television here.
On network. It's going to be a risk, but we are excited about this. It's a new school for us. And we have some new, I just launched in cable in Israel, a show about how the age of 17 became the new 30, but the age of 40 is the new 20, so you are stuck for 20 years at the same time. It's a bit, I guess it's about the death of parenthood in many ways.
Okay.
And it was a very, I felt, it was amazing trying to write the voice of 17-year-old. It took me 2 years of research to feel like what I didn't have a chance to be when I was 17 because I was a good boy. It's about how we do suffer educationally and value-wise. We do suffer from a crisis these days, especially in the secular society which I belong to. When you're not sure what you're fighting for and what is so significant for you, and you find your adventures in the wrong places as a kid, and you have to handle things you're not ready to handle with. So that was the show, and it was inspired by the death of a 17-year-old that was killed in a club in Israel and shocked the country. And we found a way to create a real story, but it's based on a commune of a group of 17-year-olds. And it was amazing, and it was brought to the U.S. They're going to try to make a remake for that with Sony Studios and Alcon Films.
I was going to ask if it's coming here. That's great. It sounds like it's going to be a good one.
You know, the thing is that Hollywood is based on the pilot system. We don't have pilots in Israel. When we take the risk, we shoot the whole season in advance. And here, you're doing a pilot, and 3 out of 15 pilots that will be filmed and shot, only 3 will go on air, and only 1 will survive the season. So you can never know. I know the head of Fox 21st, who produces Sons of Anarchy and Homeland and many others, he had before that a period that he did 31 pilots and none of them was picked up. So you can never know. There are a lot of people that built houses with swimming pool and amazing villas just out of pilots that were never aired.
That were never aired.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Ron, it has been such a pleasure to talk to you. And I wish you the best of luck with all of the new things.
Thanks so much for having me.
Israeli novelist, scriptwriter, journalist, and former television producer Ron Leshem spoke with us at the end of January. He was in town then to give a lecture on the success of Israeli television at the invitation of the Milwaukee Jewish Federation. Leshem's books have been translated into 20 languages, and he's the winner of the Sapir Prize, Israel's top literary award. And that wraps it up for us today. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for tuning in. Lake Effect returns tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 on listener-supported 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned. Fresh air comes your way next.